Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Howdy.
Imran, this is usually the part of the show where I'd ask you a question or I'd make some kind of statement trying to lead into some pre-talk before the actual news.
Banter,
but today, yeah. we don't have time for that today, Imran.
Oh, shit.
Because today's stories include the Japanese rating board being put on pause, the answer to our Cooking Mama questions, and No Mech Sky, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm so terrified that I'm gonna break this desk when I like bang it, because like when Kevin was setting it up the other day, he mentioned that he forgot a screw, and ever since then I've been on the edge on this desk.
Hey! I told you I put it together well, and that you're fine. Remember?
But I don't know what that means.
You put it together well. Yeah, I nailed it. It's missing. Four screws, but that's not a big deal.
Four screws,
like, terrorized you by just leaving. Like, by the way, I forgot one thing, and just left.
No, that's the thing. He said that, and then he left, and I was like,
It's ever since fine then, though. I wouldn't have left.
Just waiting on it to just collapse.
No, it's fine. I wouldn't have left.
What if this desk collapsed? Look, I have like two different drinks here.
What if an asteroid hits you right now? You know what I mean?
I have a laptop. I mean, that's possible.
There's so many possibilities. We don't have to be afraid of all of them, dude.
I mean, apparently we do. I don't know if you've looked out the window right now, but there's nobody outside for a reason. We got to be afraid of things, Kevin.
Clearly, gotta be afraid. Yes, but like, that's how we live. As long as we stay in, we're totally good. We're all set golden, guys.
And you can be bronze or silver, because to be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. We have a new PS I Love You shirt that's available on kindafunny.com/store. It's the same design as the sweater, but it's a shirt. And so you can not be hot while you're being hot in that shirt. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, yeah. Imran? You know what I mean.
That sweater is surprisingly comfortable, but it's getting kind of warm now. So
yeah.
Should I wear this anymore? A shirt seems a really good idea.
You gotta show off them arms, man. You know? Show off them guns.
I gotta sell tickets to the gun show.
Exactly. Kindafunny.com/store if you want to buy your tickets to the gun show. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be a jam-packed Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 9 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
And this might be a record for me. You know, I know Greg has had like high news days. I know, and that makes it sound like he's high during a big news day. News days where he's had a lot of stories, and also where he's high. Let's all be honest here. Greg does drugs.
That's how you got
to hide it anymore. That's how you got to. That's how he does it. That's why we're working from home, is because we're scared of what he might do if he really needs some meth while we're at the office. But we have 9 news stories today, which is like a record for me specifically. I'm pretty sure I don't have that on record, but I'm pretty sure. Starting with number 1, No Man's Sky has fucking mechs now. I'm pulling from Matt Wales over at Eurogamer. And Kevin, actually, do you have the trailer? I have the trailer in the doc.
Whatever,
actually,
I'll get it.
If you could pull up the trailer, because the trailer is actually pretty dope. And I know we might not get sound because I did not prep you on this beforehand. Did I, Kevin?
There's so much going on right now. I'll figure it out. Don't worry
That's
about
fine.
It.
You, in that case, just play it in the background.
Why is there... Somebody started the doc for tomorrow. I'm copying the wrong information like an idiot.
Somebody started the doc for tomorrow?
I think Greg might be in the future.
Yeah, Greg might be in the future.
He might be high again. Tomorrow. That might be just the issue, is that he's coming down From his meth high.
he thinks it's Wednesday. He's like waiting for Gary
You guys go hard when you're mean, you know what I mean?
You can go ahead and play the trailer in the background as I read this write-up from Eurogamer, Kevin.
How about I tell you what I can do, all right? How's that sound?
You know what, Kevin? Do you want to fight, Kevin? We can meet up,
fight,
Kevin.
Fight.
We can meet up. I'm amped up today. I have my ginger honey tonic right here that is actually supposed to get me down.
I think if I press this button. Yep, he's gone now. It's just me and you, Ron. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the screws you took out of Blessing's desk.
Oh, man, this shit's going to collapse. Watch. I'll bring him back. There he is.
The screws are not only loose in this desk, they're loose in Kevin's brain. I love it today.
Look at this damn thing. I want to play this game now.
Yeah. If you're a video watcher, Kevin has the trailer up for you. I'll read the Eurogamer report. It's been around 7 months since No Man's Sky launched its game-changing Beyond update. Yet, Hello Games' ever-expanding space sim still shows no sign of slowing. Since then, it's swelled with weird space landmarks and weekend community events, living ships and dashboard bobbleheads, even a music creation tool, and now Exomex. No Man's Sky Exomech update arrives today, April 7th, and ushers in the new Minotaur Exocraft. This hulking metal beast is described as a pilotable Exocraft slash suit hybrid and is designed to introduce a new, potentially more liberating means of planetary exploration. Once suitably ensconced in the cheerily chunky Minotaur, travelers can explore terra firma with a satisfyingly hefty stomp, completely immune to all hostile environmental effects, including radioactivity and extreme temperatures. Its standout feature, though, is its jetpacks, enabling players to leap and drift majestically through the air, scanning the vast expanse of Earth below from the comfort of its cozy cockpit, if they so choose, before slamming back down with an elegant plop. In addition to the Minotaur Exocraft, No Man's Sky's latest update introduces enhancements for the existing fleet of Exocraft, including solar panels for easy engine recharging during daylight, as well as various other visual improvements, bug fixes, and quality of life changes. Players can now, for instance, build an electrical cloaking unit to hide all unsightly power lines with their base. A full list of incoming features can be found in Hello Games patch notes. Imran, is No Man's Sky your jam at all?
I played a little bit of it at launch. I was like, this is fine. This is just not for me. Mm-hmm. The stuff they've added in the last 2 years. Has it been 2 years? How long has it been?
Since the Beyond or next update or
since the game launched?
I want to say it's been like 4 years. Man, it was at least before 2016, or it's 2016 or before. Let me look it up.
Yeah, but like, so I played the game. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was worth the anger necessarily. Like, I kind of got it a little bit. Like, the multiplayer stuff especially was a little weird for them to say.
It was a little bit shady. Yeah. It came out in 2016, by the way.
Ouch. That is a lot. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But since then, the improvements they've made have always made me like, maybe this is the time I get back into No Man's Sky. Maybe this is... And watching this trailer was the time I was like, yeah, this does look like... I want to pilot a mech. I want to pilot a mech in first person and just explore planets. That sounds fun. It reminded me of Xenoblade X, like the cool parts of Xenoblade X.
Yeah. No, No Man's Sky seems to be the game that keeps on giving. I was reading comments in the YouTube video for this trailer, and there were comments being like, oh, yeah, like Sean Murray, you can stop now. We get it. You're good. Like the redemption story for this game has been incredible. But yeah, even seeing this trailer where... I've tried No Man's Sky after, I want to say it was the next update, which was supposed to be the update that kind of brought things back and made good on a lot of the different elements that were kind of missing in the beginning. Like, I can't remember if it was the next update that added multiplayer or not, kind of funny.com/you're wrong. But it was one of the big updates where I was like, okay, I'm gonna jump into this thing. I'm going to see what it's about. And it still isn't for me, but... The more and more I see them update this game, the more and more I'm like, man, maybe the game could be for me now, right? Like, maybe maybe multiplayer wasn't the only thing. Maybe like the VR mode, for example, looks awesome to me. Like, the idea that you're getting to pilot a ship and like navigate like the all the levers and pulleys that have going on there in order to make your ship fly and stuff. And then also, yeah, like these mechs, like everything I've seen coming out of No Man's Sky with all of their major updates seem really cool, really awesome. And even if they end up not being for me, the fact that they're able to cater to their audience in such a specific way, like what the article states, that the mech is able to help to protect you from environmental like issues, right? Like the like poison and there's stuff where when I played it, I was like, I don't like a poison planet.
It seemed like not fun to actually play outside of a mech, but I'd be down to like play it with a mech. How are they making money out of this game now? Is it just game sales with every new update?
That's a very good question.
I can understand that Ubisoft spending several months trying to fix, or not several, a long time trying to fix a multiplayer game because they keep selling season passes and DLC and stuff like that. This game, I don't think they do deals. Like, Beyond update was paid, right?
I think that was free. I think all the major updates have been free.
So they were just like getting sales off this stuff, which is,
I imagine,
an interesting, like,
kind of funny.com/you're wrong if you're in No Man's Sky and you can tell us whether or not there's like paid DLC or how they might be making money post launch. Because like, as far as I've seen, all the major updates, I know when I jumped in with Next, that was free. I believe Beyond was also free, and I believe this is also free. And it seems that like they aren't really charging people for much. There might be cosmetic stuff maybe, but I've not really seen evidence of that. And so even with that being the case, that is impressive. And compared to Ubisoft, where you look at Ubisoft, you understand why they're going hard with For Honor, because they can still sell packs post launch. You understand why they're able to bring and commit to Rainbow Six Siege and not just like leave it at launch, because they saw a future in it, and that future does involve them making more money on it. With No Man's Sky, I'm curious on if the plan with No Man's Sky was like, hey, we're gonna redeem ourselves and we're gonna go above and no pun intended, above and beyond in terms of getting back that goodwill. Because there was a point in time where I don't think Sean Murray could have showed up at an E3 conference. I don't think Hello Games' name could have like been on like an E3 like screen. Like there was a time where like if you saw that at say Microsoft's conference, it'd be like, ooh, well, we saw what happened to No Man's Sky.
That name was mud for a very long time. But now it's like, what was it? Was it the Nintendo Indie show a couple of weeks ago that was like they had Sean Murray there and he was introducing a new game? And a couple of years ago, that would not have been a thing.
Yeah, I forget the name of that game, but it was the one that I think debuted at Game Awards. That was like their like indie journey looking game.
Right.
But like seems to be more of like a smaller kind of thing, smaller than No Man's Sky kind of game.
And now they've made it. It's a real Cinderella story, honestly. Like they made it. They were. Sean Murray was once ducking the internet, and now when they shows up, people celebrate, which is
crazy.
Not a thing you see in the video game industry all that often. Once someone's done, they're usually done.
Yeah, no, it's truly an insane story. I'm opening up kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to see if, let's see. Borzen00 says No Man's Sky has no paid DLC. Neo Biologist also says the newest Hello Games game is The Last Campfire. And yeah, like it seems like there's no paid DLC for No Man's Sky, which is crazy. Yeah,
they're just making money off like game sales now, which is that is a thing the industry just doesn't do, and I'm shocked that they're able to do that.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah.
Number two, Japanese rating board stops assigning ratings. I'm pulling this from Brendan Sinclair at gamesindustry.biz. With Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today declaring a month-long state of emergency in various parts of the country, the Computer Entertainment Rating Organization, CERO, today announced a temporary halt to the ratings process. The state of emergency includes requests for people to stay at home and non-essential businesses to close in Tokyo, where CERO's offices are located, in six other prefectures. Quote, since reviewers visit our office to conduct review, it is not possible for our staff and reviewer to work from home, the group said. For this reason, all operations, including review, including those under review, will be suspended from today until May 6th. Additionally, the organization will not accept submissions of new games for the ratings process until the state of emergency has lifted. Imran, this is pretty big news because we've talked a lot on this show about games getting delayed and what can cause games and possibly like consoles to get delayed. And a thing that hasn't really come up is rating, right? Like if the CERO, which is basically the ESRB in Japan, if they're closed, if they're not accepting new games to get rated, games like that then delays games because games have to be rated in order to come out.
Right.
And so they're closed until May 6th, which is a month, which is pretty insane.
Yeah. It's nuts. And like one of the reasons it matters so much is that Japan never really had a work from home culture. So they weren't prepared for a lot of stuff like this. And now, like, things that are that could easily be done remotely are not being are just basically shutting down because there's just no there was no preparation for the idea that you can't mass gather anymore. So the ripples of stuff like this are going to, like, the biggest concerns are when stuff we take completely for granted just falls apart. Mm-hmm. And it's like the screws in your desk. You have no idea if it's just going to collapse everything.
That's not the case. Exactly. Everything's totally fine. He is 100%. I would very comfortably sleep on that desk. That's all I'm saying.
You would not comfortably sleep on this desk.
Well, I mean, okay, sure. I'd be uncomfortable because it's small. Well,
you would not sleep on
this desk. But I would be mentally very relaxed.
If I sat down on this desk, I bet it would not.
Sit down on the desk, you goddamn coward. Sit on the desk.
No, I'm not sitting on the desk.
See what happens.
Because if it goes down, then that clip will go viral, Kevin. And I can't have that.
Just sit on the desk.
After the show, I'll sit on it. After the show.
Such a coward.
The post show, I am a coward. Sitting on his desk.
The Nanobiologist writes in and says, "Hi, Blessing Imran. The Japanese rating board has announced that they will not be reviewing games for a while. And this is causing major ripples. So it got me thinking, what exactly is involved with reviewing a game to give it a rating? Have either of you done research on this? And if so, could you enlighten us what is involved with that process? I'm curious because if the ESRB also gets shut down for a while, then how bad will this back up future big game releases in the US? Best, the Nanobiologist."
ESRB is currently, I believe, working remotely. The way they do it is that they have publishers send a video and a panel of people looks at it and then determines whether or not that's like what the rating for that would be within certain guidelines. And usually it's checked over, but it doesn't have to be done. There's no discussion between people. They look at it, they give their ideas, and that's it. So they're pretty set. I'm not going to say they're not going to be affected at all or they couldn't shut down. They very easily could because I don't know. Like, I'm sure at some point there does need to be several people in a room for a thing, mm-hmm. but they should be fine. Where Cero shuts down is, this is a larger Japanese thing, but basically they, for many, many years, part of the culture has been, instead of affixing a signature to something to certify it, you put what is called a honko stamp. And that stamp says, this is an official thing that we are deciding, like, in lieu of a signature. And that is done on, like, in a physical way. And to prevent, like, to prevent fraud, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That is done for every single game that Cero reviews. If you can't physically put that stamp in, then the entire thing shuts down. And since publishers can't come to their offices to do that, then that's, again, like it's happening here. COVID has shut that idea down. So I don't think it would affect the ESRB or the PEGI system. I haven't done enough research to PEGI and say, but it's a larger question for Japan of, like, because I know I read something today that they were trying to get around the Honko requirements, which is a kind of a sea change for them. I don't think it'll affect things outside of America, but if you're going to do a global launch, you don't just leave Japan out till later. Or maybe you do. Who knows? Like, things are changing so rapidly. Like, a few weeks ago, I was on the show saying, I expect a lot of games will get delayed just because they can't sell them in stores. Everyone thought I was crazy. And then games got delayed because they can't sell them in stores. Mm-hmm. I think smaller things like this and bug testing and stuff like that are going to probably put off major games for a decent couple of months at least.
Yeah, my go-to when I read the story, when I read this question was, what happens to Japanese games that are imminent for release that are having international releases also? Like, does a Japanese game then get delayed worldwide, or do you release it in other territories and then come back to Japan later because you weren't able to get it rated in Japan? Like, and I can't think of any, like, major upcoming game. I guess Phantasy Star Online is already out in Japan forever. I'm trying to think of, like, a Japanese game that might be imminent, but none are coming to mind. Like, what happens when that situation does come up? And also, what happens when, you know, like, you want to release a Western game worldwide and you're cut off from that Japanese audience because you're not able to get rated? Yeah. I imagine you then just delay in Japan, but also, is it worth it? Like, those are the conversations that are going to be happening because of this. And this is going to have effects on games that are about to come out and are going to be coming out in like the foreseeable next few months.
I mean, I talked to some people at like Sony and Microsoft recently, and they suggested to me that Surft has been shut down. So like that, or not shut down necessarily, but it's been vastly limited. So if a game needs to come in for a cert and can't be certified, then that gets delayed too.
It's, yeah.
Even if one of these, like, let's say Acero comes back tomorrow and they fix the Honko stamp thing and work from home, that doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to be fine. It just means that one cog is spinning again. The rest of the cogs are still not quite moving, not moving yet. And that's still a larger problem.
Yeah, and this is a conversation we've been having over the last over the last few months. I was going to say a few weeks, but really it's been the entire year at this point about, like, what are the ripple effects of everybody work from home? What are the ripple effects of the state of the world right now? How does everything affect each other? And we've been talking about games being delayed for the last few weeks, if not like last few months. Yeah. And this is just the continuation of that conversation. This is just another example of a cog in the machine that, yeah, once it stops, then what does that mean? And Tim was the one who brought this up last week after Last of Us and Iron Man VR got delayed. Like, are we looking at a 2020 where Final Fantasy VII Remake is the last big game to come out, like last like AAA title? And it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's crazy.
I think everyone right now, from what I've talked to with publishers and developers, is that they're assuming that by September things will be fine. Like that we're going to slowly start ramping back up and like production of new consoles will probably start in the summer and things like that. And like they're still going to roll things out as they see fit. But they're assuming that by the time we get to Cyberpunk 2077, that is going to be like the Madden of this year of, okay, yeah, now this game is out. Now games can start coming out again. I think that's not wildly optimistic, but still really optimistic. I think that even if we do flatten the curve right now, that we're eventually going to probably get another resurgence of this in like winter. Like there was a thing I was talking to a friend the other day about Black Widow, and they were saying like, oh yeah, they delayed it till November, so they think like they'll release it in theaters and probably not release it just on Disney Plus immediately. I think November is really optimistic too, because I think things are going to happen again around then.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want to sound like such a doomer here, but I don't think we really have a full grasp of the full situation yet. And yeah, by that point, maybe we'll have vaccines and cures and things like that, and that would be great. But it's,
yeah,
I think what's planning for 2020 right now is being optimistic.
At the very least, by that point, I think we'll have hopefully have a clearer idea of, yeah, like if this is happening in waves because of the way that the disease spread or viruses spread, like I think we'll have a better idea of, okay, so like, how is this going to affect things months from now, right? Like is this thing going to come back around in 6 months? Okay, when and how can we open up our movie or release our game? Like, hopefully by then we'll have a clearer idea than right now, where we are still in the stages of still learning and still understanding what the world is going to be for now.
Right, and even like I said before, even if some of the cogs work, even if they fix the ratings and the cert and the bug testing and games are sold in stores again, like Iron Man VR is a good example. You remember the mall by the Kind of Funny Studios? They used to have like a PSVR setup, and they had signs like advertising Iron Man VR. So presumably they would be back to show people Iron Man VR and advertise that game, because you need to really try and experience it to actually, you know, know what that game is. They're not going to do that when this is over.
That's not like the go-to is I'm going to put this thing on my face.
Yeah, like we're not just going to snap back to normal. So how do you advertise that game at that point? Because this was obviously their plan. Does that game even still come out now? Do they hold on to it as a PS5 title? Is there a Marvel contract somewhere saying this game needs to come out in 2020, or we're pulling the license? Like, it's
Yeah,
there's so many broad questions here that we are nowhere close to answering right now.
Yeah, so many broad questions that we're going to obviously continue to ask as we get more news stories like this, kind of painting more context about what's going on and how things are going. Story number three, the Cooking Mama mystery might have been solved. This comes from Christopher Tootin at Screen Rant. And before I get into it, Imran, have you been following all this Cookie Mama
I have. Situation? This has been my favorite story because it's just like it's so low stakes, but it's also massively full of like misinformation that I just love following this and figuring out what's going on.
This is the future. This is the misinformation future that Kojima was talking about in Metal Gear Solid 2. So to catch people up, right? We talked about this yesterday, but if you missed it, Cooking Mama Cookstar came out for a couple of hours on Nintendo Switch last week. It came out and then it was immediately unreleased, right? And nobody really knows why. People have been theorizing. There was talk of blockchain technology originally when the game was being advertised. And yeah, when the game came out, people were kind of talking about overheating and is the game mining cryptocurrency on your Switch? People aren't really too sure who's developing the game. There's a whole lot of things that if you want to really catch up, listen to yesterday's KFGD where me and Tim talk about it. Screen Rant talked to a developer and this is what they came up with.
So I want to clarify real quick first. The developer contacted Screen Rant, which is part of what makes the story weird of like they went to Screen Rant of all places to...
That's the kind of thing that blew my mind because somebody tweeted me the story and when I read Screen Rant exclusive Cookie Mama, I was like, wait, what? Why? But yeah, this is what they write. One developer has spoken up about the rumors surrounding Cooking Mama Cookstar. Recently, the game had launched on Nintendo Switch eShop, but was quickly pulled without any explanation, leaving many players who had been anticipating the title feeling confused. Later, rumors began to circulate that Cooking Mama Cookstar was mining cryptocurrency, including allegations that running the game would cause people's Switches to overheat. Cooking Mama Cookstar would have been the first game in the Cooking Mama franchise to appear on the Nintendo Switch, with the last five games in the series being released on the Nintendo DS and before that, the Nintendo Wii. The game is yet to reappear on the Nintendo eShop, and according to one developer, it may not return at all. Recently, Screen Rant was contacted by a member of the Cooking Mama Cookstar development team who wanted to speak about the current controversy surrounding the game. The developer, who wishes to remain anonymous, dismissed the rumors of cryptocurrency mining. Quote, and this is the developer talking, "The statement about cryptocurrency was all buzzwords. The head of Planet Entertainment knows very little things about these. He just put some fancy language to get potential investors who like that stuff. As for the crashes / overheating, that would be because the game is made in Unity by many people working on their first game. It's not the best product, but it made it through several vigorous reviews by Nintendo and Sony. There is no way crypto mining stuff could get through those tests. I doubt anyone at 1P would even be able to make such a thing," end quote. The developer also revealed the real reason Cooking Mama Cookstar was pulled from Nintendo eShop, stating, quote, "There is a legal battle between the publisher, Planet Entertainment, and the IP holder, Office Create. According to the developer, this is because Planet Entertainment released the game against a request by Office Create to keep polishing the game, or perhaps even canceling it. There was clearly a lack of communication between the publisher and the development team, as our sources described this kind of behavior as pretty standard." Quote, "At one point, the Japanese Office Create's client came to oversee development. An argument started and the clients were told to go home if they weren't being constructive. Once they found out that Planet Entertainment released the game, they used their Nintendo contacts to pull it from the eShop and stop production of cartridges. Overall, everyone at 1P loves the Cooking Mama franchise and did their best to make the best product considering the interference from the higher-ups. I think the game is far from perfect, but would have done fine without the publishers stumbling so constantly," end quote. And for context, because I didn't put this together as I was reading the story, I think 1P is the developer of the game, which has been a mystery this whole time. Imran, how does this strike you?
It's such a fascinating story because, like, one, this sort of thing happens more often than you would think of, like, weird public, like, first-time developers, publishers, like, being petty about these things. But, like, I think the story is fascinating because it's game. It's like,
yes,
person going to jail, not that interesting. Martha Stewart going to jail, very interesting. And that's this kind of game. And it's such a... All the things they're saying track. Because I've talked to some tech people about the Cooking Mama. Like, the initial press release did mention blockchain, but it didn't mention it within any, like... to what end wasn't clear. And it seems to just be what they're saying. Like, yeah, they just put in some buzzwords. They don't really know what they're talking about. The tech people say that there was no actual crypto mining because the Switch is just honestly not that capable of doing it. Trying to crypto mine from a Switch is really dumb. And it
that makes sense.
And it was also not like sending out the kind of things you would need to crypto mine from a device, like online. So that was a degree of misinformation that just didn't seem to permeate, but not actually have a whole lot of ground to hold on to. It's hilarious that the publisher was just like, yeah, no, fuck you guys. We're gonna publish this anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna put this game out.
And that they had to contact Nintendo to both pull the game to the eShop, which is not that surprising. Nintendo does that occasionally. They're like YouTube in that they will go to the right side with the right holder as much as possible. That they had to stop production of cartridges is a huge deal, because that's hilarious. That's a big deal that is not easy to do and also costs a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because the way cartridge production works is Nintendo handles all of it. And to get into a queue, you have to schedule months ahead of time. And if your game sells well and you need more cartridges, it's a huge deal that a lot of developers don't really like dealing with Nintendo on. But... Mm-hmm. They're the only game in town, so whatever. But if they have to stop production of cartridges, then Nintendo just moves on to the next person in the queue, and then they're going to have to come back to it months later. So this massively changes their own thing. It changes whoever's next in the queue. It changes a bunch of scheduling issues. So again, ripple effects in a very hilarious
instance. I put my money on this game never coming out. Like,
yeah, probably.
At this point, I bet you they pissed off Office Create, the IP holder, so badly with this that they're probably just like, nope, we're taking our ball and going home.
That's also like an interesting thing of like, how did they own the IP? Why is there a different publisher and developer for this game? Like, what did they do, and why did they not hold that much power over it?
Yeah, it's such a weird story and such a weird thing. It's been entertaining to kind of read through and watch, but. Yeah, there are a lot of questions here as far as like why, like how, yes. Why, like especially with Cooking Mama, like what, how is this the game that went through all of this, right? It's like it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I love my favorite part of the story is just that it runs badly because the team is bad. Like that's just this is the first game they've made. They're on Unity. They just don't know, and mm-hmm. thus it overheats the Switch, and that's.
It's such a simple explanation for a thing that people took and ran with and were like, no, I think it's mining Bitcoin because they mentioned blockchain in a blog last year. It's just funny. It's very funny, dude.
I've been watching a lot of Law and Order over the last couple of weeks because like YouTube TV is now on PS4 and I can just set it to record every instance of one show, and it turns out they show Law and Order on TV constantly. So I've just been recording that and watching the episodes. There's a certain point during the seasons where you can tell they went from like straightforward like crime drama to let's put a twist in every single episode. This is what that is like to me, is that everyone's looking for the twist. Like, oh, Cooking Mama is mining Bitcoin. It's like, no. It's actually much stupider than that. It's much simpler and much dumber.
Yes. Story number 4. That E3 online event, it's not happening. I'm pulling this from Andy Chalk at PC Gamer, who writes, and this is an update actually to their original story from yesterday about E3 setting their date for next year. I believe PC Gamer then contacted E3 for an update, and this is the response that the ESA gave PC Gamer. An E3 rep declined to confirm the reported E3 2021 dates, but said that the planned, quote, online experience announced in June will not be happening. Individual digital presentations in lieu of E3 2020 are still in the works, however. Quote, given the disruption brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic, we will not be presenting an online E3 2020 event in June. And this is the E3 rep talking. Instead, we will be working with exhibitors to promote and showcase individual company announcements, including on E3Expo.com in the coming months. We look forward to bringing our industry and community together in 2021 to present a reimagined E3 that will highlight new offerings and thrill our audiences, end quote. Imran, does this surprise you?
No, I figured they were probably not going to go actually do anything, because the second they canceled E3, I feel like it was them washing their hands of it, of going, okay, no, this year just we're calling a mulligan. It's not going to happen. We'll just come back next year and do whatever. I don't know what they thought an online E3 event was supposed to be this year. Maybe they were going to coordinate with like the actual like press or publishers doing their press conferences and still going, okay, you still have to do it at your normal time. You're still doing it. You're still filling your slot. And probably every publisher was like, no, that seems stupid. Why would we do that? And what else would it be? Like demos?
Yeah, I mean, I imagined the way I kind of imagined it would be how IGN is doing Summer of Gaming that they announced late last week, where they are like doing demos and like having games premiere and then like doing interviews, whether there are like online video interviews or I don't know if they're planning in-person stuff, probably not. But I imagined maybe they were planning for that and maybe IGN kind of stole some of that thunder, some of that space.
Once they signed on with IGN, I think they were not going to do anything else, because why would you?
Exactly. And
probably a number of them bumped their plans to Gamescom. Probably some of them have just decided, okay, well, we're not beholden to June anymore, so let's just put our stuff whenever, when we're not fighting for attention that same week. So E3 is kind of a dinosaur, and it is very possible to make that like a still working cool thing. I just don't know that the ESA has the vision to do it.
Speaking of events, number 5, all Microsoft events will be digital first until August 2021. I'm pulling this from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz, who writes, Microsoft has announced all its internal and external events will shift to a digital model until next summer in order to prevent spreading coronavirus. The company already confirmed to ZDNet last week that all 2020 events would be digital only, and now an internal email suggests that this will last until the end of July 2021. The email was shared by Microsoft MVP and community contributor Ginny Cahy via Twitter. It reads, quote, in light of the challenges presented by COVID-19, Microsoft has been closely monitoring the developing global situation and reassessing the overall company-wide in-person event strategy. As a company, Microsoft has made the decision to transition all external and internal events to a digital-first experience through July 2021. This will include a future MVP and RD Summit, which is currently scheduled for March 28th and April 2nd, 2021. We'll continue to evaluate the situation and look forward to connecting in person when the situation allows, end quote. It's not clear how this will affect Xbox events, although the platform holder has already been experimenting with delivering news via its Inside Xbox broadcast, with another due to air later today. And speaking of, story number 6, there's a new Inside Xbox happening today. I'm pulling this from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. We talked about this during kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong yesterday. But just to reiterate, this is Adam's words here from IGN. Xbox has announced it will be presenting the first Inside Xbox of 2020 tomorrow, April 7th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, with a focus on Grounded, Gears Tactics, Sea of Thieves, Xbox Game Pass, and more. Announced on Xbox Wire, this Inside Xbox will run approximately 40 minutes, and a live first look at the single-player experience in Grounded will be broadcast immediately following the show. While it is mentioned, we can, quote, expect surprises from our id at Xbox team and more, end quote. It also clearly states that there will be no new details regarding Xbox Series X. And I feel like this piggybacks well off of what we were talking about earlier regarding we have no idea what's going on in the future, right? Microsoft delaying, or not delaying, but Microsoft doing digital first events until August 2021. Like, that seems like overcorrection, but it's really kind of what you, I think it's a good idea in the sense that, hey, at least now we know. Like, at least now we know we can do events digitally. We know that this will be set. We know we don't have, we know if we plan things this far ahead that nothing that we have going on is going to get interrupted. And so with that, like, I think you can expect like stuff like the Xbox Series X like reveal event, even though I guess it's already been revealed, but like the big event to focus on that console, likely digital, along with like a lot of other things coming out of Microsoft.
It's easier to pivot back to normalcy than it is to pivot or to assume that we're going to go back to normal than have to backtrack back to digital stuff. So it's better for them to say like, okay, here's what we've got scheduled for all our meetups and or not meetups, but like all our events in the next couple of our next year. And then maybe go back to a physical presence if we need to. But it's fascinating to me that this is the first time we've ever had a console launch that has worked this way. And we always rely so much on precedent and tradition that I don't know how well this is going to work. And we're going to have to find out together. And I think Microsoft is going to have to find out themselves. Because Microsoft as a whole, as a company, is now a services company, which is good for them because they're well poised for this new age that we currently live in. But the Xbox brand is more, it still has hardware to launch this year. Do we launch that hardware without people getting hands on? Probably. Like that seems very likely to happen at this point. What does that look like? Are they going to invite us to the San Francisco loft, like one person at a time? That's actually not a bad idea to try it out. Like it's, I want to know, I'm more interested to know what this looks like and how they deal with it than I am actually in the consoles themselves. At this point, I'm going to buy the consoles. Like, that's a given. I want to know what they think a rollout looks like in a world where you can't really roll it out the same way you have the last 7 times.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to watch this inside Xbox too, to see if it's kind of a business as usual kind of thing, or if we see changes in that. Like, I wonder how internally working from home is kind of affected, like, all right, how are we going to put together a video stream? Like, are we bringing down a video team, like a limited number of people for the video team to make this thing happen? Or like, are we going to see Phil Spencer at home in his pajamas with a webcam pointed at him? Like, hey, let me talk to you about Grounded. Like, how is that going to look? I'm curious to see. And I'm sure that's going to then reflect future ways in which they show off the console this year.
Yeah. Do you think that like everyone just does directs now?
Oh yeah.
The entire not just how State of Play kind of does the same format with the voices and then all that stuff. Like, all major announcements come through this thing now.
I don't know if everybody is necessarily doing it like with a similar style, because State of Play, is like very much like a direct kind of thing. I think Inside Xbox could still continue to be what Inside Xbox is, even though historically it has been like interviews and sit downs and stuff. I think it might still be that, but with maybe like they do it over Google Hangouts, or like, I mean, they do it like we're doing this right now. Because I feel even though Inside Xbox isn't my favorite stream to watch, I think they found a good place with it where it is like, hey, this isn't a place for the biggest announcements. This is a place for the fans and the faithful of Xbox. And we're giving like a lot of inside baseball stuff around updates, around new exclusive, like Grounded, which is a game that I don't think people are super excited about, but is a game that's going to speak to a certain audience and probably like the Xbox audience as a core. Like, we'll talk about games like that there in order to evangelize it. Like, I don't see that game playing well in a direct format, like that kind of like specific, like, hey, game, we're gonna give you like the elevator pitch and the trailer and the date and we're gonna move on. I feel like when you do that for a game like Grounded, or for some of the things they say that they're talking about here in this Inside Xbox, right, Gears Tactics, Sea of Thieves, I feel like it's a lot more boring. But I do see companies going digital. Like, I do see those streams happening, but maybe in varying degrees in terms of format. And that's kind of the thing I'm most curious about, is what is Ubisoft's stream gonna look like when they put one on? Because you know they're gonna put one on during E3 time, right? What is EA's stream gonna look like? Is EA's thing gonna be a digital EA Play? And is it gonna look like it looked last year when Greg was hosting it, and you have like, I don't know, 15 minutes dedicated to each of these games that you're showing off? Or is it like a more condensed thing of like, hey, let's get in, get out, let's do the more Nintendo Direct style of thing? I'm curious. And I think this will, like, when we talk about E3 being a dinosaur, this is going to be the thing that is going to really turn E3 into a dinosaur, and makes me curious on what does E3 think it is next year when everybody has a format now to do digital.
It's entirely possible everyone messes it up this year and they come crawling back to E3 next year, which is like, I'm sure that's the ESA's preferred, you know, result from all this. But
yeah,
I don't know. With Microsoft, the announcement of the Xbox, Inside Xbox, kind of caught me off guard. So I'm like, oh yeah, obviously they're going to do it. But when they announce what's going to be in it, like, it's Grounded, Gears Tactics, CFTs, you call it a little boring, which I think you're right. It's not there's no headliner there.
And I think that's because they save that stuff for their XO events. Like, XO 20 is, and that's not going to happen. But like, their XO events is usually where I see them kind of going a bit harder with those announcements, and they like show up at Game Awards and yeah. the events throughout the year.
But it's surprising to me they don't now they didn't use this as an opportunity to build the brand and say like, and also a new look at Halo Infinite or the new trailer for mm-hmm. Hellblade 2 or something like that. Like these are, I will play the hell out of Gears Tactics. I know a lot of people who just love Sea of Thieves, but
yeah,
they're gonna wait for this thing to be over and then read Twitter or IGN or whatever for people to like condense information down for them. If they have a big headlining anticipatory thing, like I don't necessarily think the direct format is perfect, but I do think that it does a good job of making it event programming.
It's definitely the most ideal version we've seen so far of that format of going digital. Yeah. Before we get into story number 7, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Support for Kind of Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. April is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know one guy every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? So this is a reminder to all men who are listening to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Manscaped, in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for safe and easy manscaping, has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Together, TCS and Manscaped are committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men age 15 to 35, and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of their We Save Balls initiative. While you're down there cleaning up your sack, why not go ahead and give them a little investigation for lumps, changes in size, and any pain? Manscaped recommends you check yourself once a month. If you do feel any lumps or swelling, give your doctor a call. In addition to checking yourself regularly, you want to make sure your sack is looking fresh and clean with the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0, which I like to use. Let me tell you, that thing slaps. I love it. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your sack. Some of these liquid tools for your family jewels include the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant for your balls. Your balls stink, and you need to keep them smelling nice. And the Crop Reviver, tan your balls. Let me say that again. The Crop Reviver, a spray-on ball toner and refresher. The Perfect Package 3.0 also includes...
All right. The bowling thing of like where you put the ball in and it polishes the ball.
No, legit, like... It's just the image that makes me laugh is like the idea of like going in there just like... It's like, oh yeah, I just need to like tan this up a bit and like make it happen.
There's no sun. I can't go get sun out for my balls today, so... We're going to have to spray in and hope for the best.
The Perfect Package 3.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day. Join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your balls today. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Learn more about testicular cancer screening at manscaped.com/we-save-balls. That's manscaped.com/we-save-balls. And share their educational video to help save lives and balls. You can also get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code GAMES. Your balls will thank you.
That was I've been like squeezing a stress ball basically this entire show because like there's something to do with my hands. That was an interesting ad because I noticed I was like just not squeezing the stress ball that entire time.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to do this. Maybe yeah. I should spray tan this thing. I don't know. Story number 7, because we're still in the Roper Report, because the Roper Report is jam-packed. Sony is automatically issuing refunds for The Last of Us Part 2 and Iron Man VR. This is from Jordan Allman at IGN. Sony will issue automatic refunds for pre-ordered digital copies of The Last of Us Part 2 and Iron Man VR following indefinite delays to both games. The news was revealed via the Sony support portal, where a banner notes that players who have purchased digital pre-orders of either game will be reimbursed. Those affected by this should have received emails from Sony detailing the refund process. This is in response to the indefinite delays announced for both games last week. Iron Man VR was primed for a May 15th release, while The Last of Us Part 2 was scheduled to launch on May 29th, 2020. Frank Furter writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can and says, good morning, Bleskin Imran. Sony is automatically refunding pre-orders for both The Last of Us Part 2 and Iron Man VR. I'm wondering why they don't leave it as an optional choice instead of making it automatic. I get that it's delayed indefinitely, but if you're getting it digitally in the first place and are already paying for it, wouldn't it just be easier to wait for it to be released? Or is there something bigger here, like making it a PS5 launch title so they want you to have a choice of where you get it? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
The answer is Europe. Europe has laws specifically about indefinite release dates and how long you can keep a store page up without having have pre-orders without having a release date for it. They probably just want to do it worldwide just to not have to deal with one specific region. I don't think he's super wrong about the idea that they're going to be on PS5, but I think it was probably already the plan and not necessarily like a thing they've done since the delay. Mm-hmm. It is interesting that they're just like going... It's not interesting because it's the law, but I don't think there's a hidden agenda behind it. I think it's what they're saying on the tin. We're definitely delaying these games. We don't know when they're going to be out. It could be soon, could not be soon. But until we know an exact date, we can't have pre-orders sitting in our system and running afoul of people who might complain about it or might get litigious about it.
Yeah, I that was my exact same answer too. It's the fact that it doesn't have a release date anymore. Is why they would cancel those pre-orders.
Yeah.
Me and Greg have been talking about this on I believe the show and maybe PSLW. Actually, no, it's probably more so PSLW that I wouldn't be surprised to see Last of Us Part 2 as a PlayStation 5 launch title coming out like cross-platform day and date on both consoles now that they've had to delay it. But yeah, I don't think this is that. I think this could maybe help out with that. I think that might be an unforeseen, like, oh yeah, like if people are gonna have to reorder it, I guess they can reorder it on the PS5, but right. I don't think that's the reason why you wouldn't refund people on their pre-orders. That would be a bit shady if that was the case.
I mean, generally they like to take pre-orders early, but there are also complications with it too. Like, what if you take it too early and then it comes time to charge? Like, do you charge now? Do you charge when it's possible that people won't have the money? Like, it is more complicated than just we have to do it, but they do have to do it. Like, they are mandated to do so.
Story number 8, Mafia 2 and Mafia 3 Definitive Editions have been listed by ratings boards. This comes from Jordan Alleman at IGN. Mafia 2 and Mafia 3 Definitive Editions have been rated by the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee. The news arrives thanks to a tweet from Nebelian, which links to the website of the ratings board where the games were found to be registered by Take-Two Asia PTE Limited. Each game is rated in 3 instances for PC, PS4, and Xbox One, suggesting that the game will land on all current-gen platforms at launch. If you click on any of the individual trademarks, you'll see that the publisher is listed as 2K Games, with Mafia 3 studio Hangar 13 developing the project. You may remember that Mafia 2 was developed by 2K Czech, which has now been merged into Hangar 13. The developer has studios in Novato, Brighton, Prague, and Brno. We first heard rumors of a return for the Mafia franchise back in August of 2019 when initial trademarks were filed. Over the weekend, we heard from Gamatsu that the definitive edition for Mafia 2 was rated in Korea, which backs up the credibility of this remaster. And all this makes sense to me, even though Mafia 3 Definitive Edition, I feel like it's an interesting thing because Mafia 3 is already on PS4 and Xbox One, but I guess if you want to do like a definitive version with, I can't remember if there was DLC in that game, but maybe you add a mission and I guess you wouldn't really polish it up in terms of graphics, but like, yeah, I don't really know how, like why you would do a Mafia 3 Definitive Edition now that I think about it.
Yeah,
I feel like it doesn't make as much sense.
I'd assume it has DLC. Maybe they actually did some design work to it.
Like, maybe, yeah.
That would be cool, but I don't, like, do you put that as a pat? Like, that's happened before, though, like with Sleeping Dogs and stuff like that. Granted, there was
Sleeping Dogs came out on PS3, though.
Yeah, and they did, but they also, like, for PC, they made a definitive edition that kind of replaced
it. Oh,
yeah. So.
Interesting. And I wonder if it is, like, a package thing also. Maybe it could be, like, hey, we're selling these things together, and that's the deal, and that's why they're re-releasing in this way.
That would make sense. It's also possible they're saying PS4 and Xbox One, but it's not actually for PS4 and Xbox One. Like, yeah, that could just be that what they have to put in the drop-down menu for rating now. But yeah, what did you think of Mafia? Did you play it?
Mafia 3? I've wanted to play Mafia 3 because I know people really like the story. I know Barrett specifically talks about that being one of his favorite video game stories of the generation. But I just never got around to it because this is one of those games that seems good in some ways, but then seems like fine in other ways. And it's one of those things where I'm going to wait till I'm in the mood for it. And I just never got into the mood for it. I never played any of the previous Mafias. I don't know anything about Mafia 2 or 1.
They're fine. I think Mafia 3 is the closest I got to really enjoying one of those games. But it has a really good story, like Barrett said. But the open world bloat is probably worse in that game than I've seen in like most open world games. Yeah. It just feels so aimless most of the time. And that game's story deserved better than that game's design.
Yeah, and I've heard such good things. I remember when Mafia 3 first came out, I think I was listening to like Austin Walker on a podcast talking about like some of the elements of it and how like they deal with race in a very specific and interesting way in the game, as far as like, because the game takes place in what, the 50s or something, or maybe the 40s, and like it takes place in New Orleans, and the way in which they go about illustrating the time and the tension is pretty interesting. And so I want to check it out at some point. But we'll see. It's one of them ones where it's like it's a backlog game, and it might stay there indefinitely, like The Last of Us Part Two.
At this point, I'm actually like looking at my backlog, and being like, okay, yeah, I could probably hit some of these now.
Yeah, I'm honestly in a similar place, though. Mafia 3 is definitely like towards the back of the backlog. But yeah, my backlog is getting some love lately, which is nice. Kevin, do you have something to say? Because I heard the click. No.
I just moved my hand and I hit it on my way.
Oh,
mouse. No worries. And then I was like, did that actually make it click? And I tried again and it did. It was my hand.
Yeah. No, every time you ship in, there's a click, and it helps a lot because it helps me to know when you want to come in. And so don't change that.
I've also been trying to have KevCam pop up.
Oh, yeah, that helps too. Yeah, that helps a lot too. Yeah.
Oh, I actually don't look at the cameras because I don't have
that was monitor space. Half the time I'm looking at the dock. And so,
I got three monitors, so plenty of space.
Man, see, I'm worried about like if I look, I have another monitor here, and I don't really use it for this show because I'm worried that like if I'm here looking at the dock, I'm not looking at the camera at all.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense, guys. That makes a lot of sense.
Story number 9: Chrono Trigger composer Yasunori Mitsuda will contribute music to Sabotage's upcoming RPG Sea of Stars. This is from their press release. Sea of Stars developer Sabotage announced today that legendary composer Yasunori Mitsuda will contribute music to the upcoming turn-based RPG. Mitsuda is best known for his work on the massively popular games such as Chrono Trigger, Xenogears, and Shadow Hearts. We'll develop original music for the game, joining Sea of Stars composer Eric W. Brown. And of course, Sabotage Studios did The Messenger. We showed off this game like a month or so ago on Games Daily. It was me and Tim. It's the RPG. It looks really cool. Looks like Chrono Trigger. Makes sense that they got the Chrono Trigger composer to work on this game. Imran, did you see the trailer for Sea of Stars? You have
any interest in it? I did. It was really cool. And I was like, that feels like 7 months ago at this point. But yeah, I'm more excited now knowing Mitsuda is on it. It's weird they list Chrono Trigger, Xenogears, and Shadow Hearts and not Chrono Cross, which I feel like is actually his best soundtrack. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah, it if you're going to go for a Chrono Trigger game, it makes absolute sense to bring in Mitsuda, who made most of the tracks for that game. There's a bunch of really cool interviews with him about how he designed a lot of that music, and most of it was like, they didn't give me any direction, so they're just like, make something good. So he made that soundtrack. So I think him left to his own devices is probably, he can probably outcompose most people out there.
I'm very excited for this game, and we're talking about backlogs, right? The Messenger is definitely in my backlog. It's probably the next one I'm looking at. I'm thinking about going back and playing The Messenger in anticipation for this game, since Sea of Stars apparently takes place in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to that. But Imran, Sea of Stars is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do
yeah.
Out today, we got Below for PS4, Disaster Report: Summer of Memories for PS4, Switch, and PC.
We should talk. Grim Valor. Circle back around to that one because it's kind of a grim, funny thing.
Disaster Report?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's circle back to it later. Grim Valor for Switch, Pattern for Mac and PC, a game called Pattern. Interesting. Sophie's Cubes for Mac and PC.
Which cube are you gonna let die?
Infinite. Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Infinite Jonin for PC. It's like a Sophie's Choice, but like a Sophie's Cube. Digital Paintball Redux for PC. Octoflight for PC. I couldn't see that was a fight or a flight. Badlands for PC. Nations at War Digital for PC. And then you can start pre-ordering those Super Mario Lego sets out on August 1st right now. And then some new dates for you. A game called Zed. That's Z-H-E-D. The puzzle game in which you must select the right squares to move forward will be released on Nintendo Switch and Steam on April 16th. What's the word with Disaster Report for?
So that game was originally developed for PS3. And it was going to launch in 2011 in Japan. I think it was going to launch 2 weeks after the tsunami. Obviously, they could not release it at that point.
It's
a video game about an earthquake causing a tsunami. So it ended up killing the company that developed it, Irem, because they had an entirely finished game they just could not release. So they prepped, like, the company came back under a new form. I forget the developer's name, but they released it, or they're releasing it now for PS4, among another disaster. So it's
that's crazy. Yeah. That's insane. So imagine being them.
It's a very fascinating story.
That's one of those ones where like you're like, oh man, is it us? Are we the problem? My hands. What have they done? Like it's one of those situations.
Well, at least now it's actually officially out, so we don't have to worry about it coming circling back around in 7 years.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's right, we're fast forwarding to you're wrong because it's been such a long show. And it looks like we don't have much wrong now. Biologist writes in and says, are y'all doing a live react for today to Inside Xbox? No, we are not. Because as history has shown us, Inside Xbox doesn't tend to be that exciting. Yeah. And so until they start doing like until they start acting like Nintendo or like Sony and I don't know, man, do like the thing where like they have like the video package and they zoom in and they zoom out and they're like, oh, now it's time for the next thing. And they transition and zoom in and they show a trailer.
Yeah,
until they start doing that, then I don't know what we do an Inside Xbox reacts. But thanks for the question. Let's see. No, Bob just says, I think you're missing that this means that there is no XO20 this year, which is Xbox's big fan event every year. Oh, yeah. I think we mentioned that there's probably not going to be an XO20 this year.
I think they're probably canceling those things for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, at least like the next year or two, probably not going to see an XO. And then lastly, Ignacio Rojas said, Mafia 3 did have DLC. So thank you for that clarification there. This week's hosts for the rest of the week are going to be, tomorrow is Greg and Gary Widow. That's right, Widow Wednesday. Stay tuned for that. Thursday is Greg and me. Friday is Greg and me. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily. And then I guess we got to do the handshake. This way.
I think.
This flipped for me, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at the monitor on like Kevin's part and see if that works. That's why I was like, dude.